Now, in chapter 1, we have here the decline of Judah, the fall of Jerusalem, and Daniel taken captive to Babylon, and his decision to be true to God. In the first 5 verses, you have the decline and fall of Jerusalem to Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Then you have verses 6 through 14, the decision of Daniel as one of the captives to be true to God. And then verses 15 to 21, delight of Nebuchadnezzar in the development of Daniel and his 3 friends. Now let's look at the decline and fall of Jerusalem to Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. I'm reading now verse 1. In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Now Jehoiakim was placed on the throne of Judah by Pharaoh Necho to succeed his brother Jehoahaz. Both of these men were sons of Josiah, but they were both evil, although their father, as we have seen before, was a godly man, led in actually the last revival. Now, Jehoiakim's name actually was Eliakim. And during his reign, Nebuchadnezzar first came against Jerusalem. The year was about 606 B.C. He took the city about 604 B.C. The city, however, was not destroyed, and the first group of captives was taken to Babylon. Now, among these were Daniel and his 3 friends, as well as literally thousands of others. Now, when Jehoiakim died, his son Jehoiachin came to the throne. He rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, who in 598 besieged Jerusalem again. Once more, Jerusalem was not destroyed, but the king and his mother and all the vessels of the house of the Lord were taken away to Babylon with an even larger group of captives. Evidently, among this latter group was Ezekiel. Now, when we were studying Ezekiel, I went into this in a great deal of detail. You find all of this back in 2 Kings, the 23rd chapter, and the 24th chapter. Now, Zedekiah, the uncle of Jehoiachin, who was subsequently made king, also rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. And this time, Nebuchadnezzar came against the city, destroyed the temple, burned Jerusalem, and the sons of Zedekiah were slain in his presence, and then his eyes were put out. He, with the final deportation, went into captivity about 588 or 587 B.C. And by the way, this was accomplished in fulfillment of the prophecy that Jeremiah had given in Jeremiah 25, 8 and 13. And you remember this man, Jeremiah, he said that the prophets were false prophets. Jerusalem would be destroyed. Ezekiel said the same thing. And these 2 men just happened to be right. And in verse 2, and I'm reading now, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God. Now we find here that he took part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Now they were put there, and keep that in mind, because a king that's coming along, probably a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, will bring them out for his banquet. Now verse 3, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Now, this man, Nebuchadnezzar, he took the cream of the crop of all of the captives that he took of any nation. And we find here that Daniel was included. I think they were given tests. I think they wanted to determine their IQ. And these men were to be trained to be wise men for the king of Babylon, to advise him and you'll find out that he did refer to him. Now, if you would drop down, you would find that in verse 9 here, and will you notice it, it says, "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and compassion with the prince of the eunuchs." I wonder if that's telling you anything yet. Well, let me give you Isaiah 39:7. "And of the sons that shall issue from thee," God is speaking to the king at that time, at the time of the captivity, "and of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Now, does that tell you anything? Daniel was taken away when he was about 17 years of age. That is, I think, agreed upon by most conservative scholars. And he was made a eunuch. So you can understand why Daniel did not marry, did not have children. A great many raised that question about Daniel. What kind of an oddball is he? Well, he actually was no oddball. This was something that the king did. And it did not destroy the development mentally of these individuals. Actually, it made them more docile to the king, and also it enabled them to give all their time to the studies that were given to them. You know anything about colleges, and I'm sure that that was true in your day. It was in mine. I spent half of my time taking what was known as a campus course, that is dating. And I wasted a lot of good time. Somebody said to me, "My, you must have really studied when you were in college." Well, I did. I did a lot of studying, but I could have done lots more. You see, the king, he wants these boys to spend their time studying. And he had a way of doing it. They're made eunuchs here. And Daniel is in that group. Now, verse 4, "Youths in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and gifted in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." Now, I want to submit to you that the Bible was not written by a bunch of ninnies. It wasn't written by men who were ignorant. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt. And my friend, they were very far along. They knew the distance to the sun. They knew the earth was round. It was a few of the Greeks that came along later and flattened out the earth, and they were scientists of that day, you see. Science is what taught the earth was flat. Bible never did teach the earth was flat. And in fact, it said it was a circle. And the very interesting thing is, you come to this man Daniel here. Daniel was a young man, and they must have given all these fellows an IQ test, and Daniel rated pretty high. He was up at the top of the list. He was outstanding, you see. And by the way, Paul was up in that bracket also. I get wearied of some of these so-called eggheads today acting as if the Bible is a book written by a group of ignoramuses. If you feel that way about it, I say it to you very candidly, you are an ignoramus. Because any study of the Word of God will reveal this man Daniel is nobody's fool. He's a brilliant young man. Now he's going to be taught, as few men have been taught. He's going to be exposed to the learning of that day. And don't despise the learning of that day. Many men were well advanced in knowledge and actually in science and in many areas today. And I think Daniel could be put into that class. Now, will you notice something else that took place? "And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's food and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end of them they might stand before the king." Now, I've read you here the change that the New Scofield Bible has made here in our authorized version. And they've changed this word that was translated meat to food. And that's all right. And actually, we find that this was the diet of the pagan and the heathen over there. And it would include, of course, unclean animals. And you must remember, Daniel was a Jew. He was under the Mosaic law. And they were told not to eat certain meats and certain fowl, certain fish. Now, I read in verse 6, "Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, under whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names." You notice now that he actually changes their names, their Hebrew names, and they're given pagan names, heathen names. He gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means the same thing as Belshazzar, and it meant a worshiper of Baal, a heathen god. And he named Hananiah Shadrach, and Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Now, we're acquainted with those names. And by the way, the names we're acquainted with are heathen names. And I think these four boys registered the highest IQ of any of them. You see, Babylon wanted the best brains in that day, as well as physical, a good physical specimen. Now, we're told here that there was given to them, appointed a daily provision of the king. And now let me read verse 6. Now we come to the decision of Daniel as one of the captives to be true to God. Now among these were the children of Judah. We've been over that. Now there were four young men from Judah that are identified to us, and the reason is that they were taking a stand for God. Now, if these other boys were about the age of Daniel, I would say that they probably were around 17 years of age. Now, Dr. Gabeline, who was a very able expositor of the Old Testament, especially the prophetic books, he feels he was about 14. I would suggest that if we come up with the date here, or the age of 17, that would be probably the correct answer. And frankly, it was Sir Robert Anderson that gave him the age of about 20, maybe 21 or 22, so that 17 would be a good conservative estimate of the age of these men. Now, will you listen to the stand that Daniel is taking? "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's food, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Now, this boy, he takes a real stand for God, you see. And the very interesting thing is here is he takes this stand for God in a heathen court. Under normal circumstances, it would have been fatal. Obviously, Daniel was not trying to win a popularity contest, and he wasn't attempting to please Nebuchadnezzar. Now, his decision did not reflect the modern softness of compromise that's all about us today. His decision was not dictated by the false philosophy of the power of positive thinking, or how to win friends and influence people. Daniel knew nothing of the opportunist policy when in Babylon, do as the Babylonians do. You see, Daniel was not conformed to this world, but he was transformed by the renewing of his mind, and the will of God was the all-absorbing purpose of his life. Now, Daniel and his friend represent that Jewish remnant which God has in all ages. And this is the remnant of which Paul spoke in Romans 11:5, when he said, "Even so then at this present time also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace." Now these boys say that they don't want to eat the king's food. Well, what in the world are they going to eat, you see? That's going to be a pretty big question now. And so let's just read on here. And as we do, I think that we'll find out that these young men are going to rebel against a Babylonian diet. You see, they were even to be brainwashed to the extent they're going to be made Babylonians from skin inward and from the skin outward. They were not only to dress like Babylonians, and they were to think like Babylonians. And this man, Daniel, and his friends, fact of the matter is, God made it very clear to his people in the Old Testament. Now, today, we're under the age of grace. We're not under this Mosaic system of diet, but Daniel was under it. And in Leviticus 11:44-47, let me read you this. He says, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves. Ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beasts, and of the fowl, and of every living creature that moveth in the waters, and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beasts that may be eaten and the beasts that may not be eaten." Now, certain meats were specifically forbidden. And I'm not going back and pick up that list, but you'll find it in Leviticus. And also meats were offered to the heathen idols, which was repulsive to the godly Israelite. And these Hebrew children, Daniel could have been a Nazarite to whom wine was forbidden, because in Numbers 6:3, the Nazarite, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes or eat moist grapes or dried. And now, they were following, therefore, the injunction that had been given to them. And Isaiah put down in Isaiah 52:11, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Now, believers today, we just haven't been given a diet chart or a menu. We are told, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:25-27, what's sold in the shambles, that is out yonder in the meat market, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever set before you eat, asking no question for conscience sake. And then again, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8:8, but meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Now, notice that these men are taking a stand under the Mosaic law, which they were under, which means they're taking a stand for God. Verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Now you see, Daniel is already a favorite, and that's no accident. God was working in his behalf even as he'd worked in the life of Joseph down in the land of Egypt. Verse 10, and the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me in danger my head to the king. You see, the prince of eunuchs, he didn't want to force the diet on them, but you see, he's on a hot seat. He's caught between a rock and a hard place. What's he going to do? Because he likes Daniel. Now listen to Daniel, verse 11. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Now, let me give that to you as we have it here in the New Scofield Bible. Test thy servants. This is verse 12 of chapter 1. I beseech thee 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. And believe me, I want to say to you, I recommend this New Scofield Bible. I just wish the things were in the same slot they were in my old Scofield. It's a little difficult for me to find my way around here. But I don't like several of the translation. Vegetables. I don't think that is exactly it. Actually, it was a grain that they were to eat. And actually, the grain was the same thing that we have today in rolled oats, or we have it today in post-toasties, grape nuts. Well, to tell the truth, what Daniel is really saying, he says, let us have our Wheaties, and in a few days we'll show you that we're all right, that we are in just as good physical condition as the others are. I think that's much better translation. He's not asking to be made a vegetarian. He wants his Wheaties, friends. And I think that's a much better translation. But that's mine. You don't have to accept it, of course. Well, may I say that as we come down here now, the verse 13, then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the youths that eat of the portion of the king's food, and as thou seest, deal with thy servant. In other words, test us out and put us on this diet a few days and see if we are not just about as good physical condition as the other fellows are. Well, the very interesting thing is that God brought favor to Daniel from this Melzar, the chief of the eunuchs, had charge of him. And so the test is going to be made. Now, he purposed in his heart, we're told. And I'd like to say this, because today there are so many that have made Bible separation and Bible living a matter of a few little rules that have to do with eating and have to do with conduct. And there's always a tendency to draw a line down on certain questionable things and be dogmatic about things actually that are debatable. I have a letter in my little book, 1 Hour in Romans, a woman that was saved in my Thursday night Bible study in downtown Los Angeles. She's in Who's Who, a rather remarkable woman who'd been in several cults. And then she got with a little group after she was saved that told her that she couldn't do this and she couldn't do that. And her letter to me, as she had been in the East and returned to California, she told me how miserable she was. She says, I've done all these things, and yet I'm miserable. May I say to you that actually there was certain things in the past that set up a little system of not doing certain things, doing things that was good at first. For instance, the monasteries that began in the Roman Empire, it was actually a protest against the licentiousness of the Roman Empire. But before long, it was worse on the inside of the monastery than on the outside. And Christ, you remember, said to the Pharisees, you make the outside of the cup clean, but inside it's dirty. It's just like, as he said, whitewashing a tomb. And today, it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, it's according to his mercy. In other words, we must first receive new life from God. We must be born from above. And now, if you're going to argue about Daniel's diet, I want to say to you that it all began in the heart of Daniel. Daniel purposed in his heart. He's not a paper mache. He has a heart. And it's in his heart. And Daniel, I think his experience actually should be ours. We are today captives in this world in which we live. You can't get away from this earth. Gravitation holds all of us by the seat of our pants. We just can't jump off. And we're in the world, the Lord Jesus said, but you're not of the world. And we're told you cannot serve God and mammon. And that's not by rules. The fact of the matter is that you got a purpose in your heart. You've got to have a heart. The Lord Jesus said it's out of the heart proceed issues of life. It's not what goes into you. Those are not the important things. But this man Daniel now is purposed in his heart. And he's going to follow God's law as given to God's people Israel. And this to him was his testimony. Now we are told here that the chief of the eunuchs, the prince of the eunuchs, he was rather reluctant because he was brought up on the Babylonian culture that this diet was the thing that produced geniuses and giants. Well, he soon found out that wasn't altogether true, but he liked Daniel, and they had 10 days in which they tested it out. And we're told that Daniel was given pulse. Well, that's not a good translation, and actually, it was a grain, a cereal. And as we said, Daniel wanted to eat his Wheaties. And therefore, he's given that, and the test was made. Verse 14 now, I'm reading. So he consented to them in this matter and tested them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the youths who did eat the portion of the king's food, so that actually the diet worked in their behalf. And that ought to tell us something too, by the way, friends. May I say to you, if you think God gave that diet to his people just to be different, and they were to be different, but also there was a health factor involved. I believe thoroughly today that if that diet given in Leviticus, if you would follow it, you'd be healthier than your neighbor that eats anything. But you can eat anything. We're not under that law today. Now, we are told here, verse 16, thus Melzer took away the portion of their food and the wine that they should drink and gave them vegetables. No, gave them Wheaties, gave them the cereal. Verse 17, as for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. Now, just as God had blessed Solomon, God's blessing these Hebrew children in a foreign court. In other words, Daniel will eventually become prime minister through two great world empires. Now, will you notice? And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, we're still in the area of revelation. And long as you're in that area, God will use dreams and visions. But now don't you today say God has spoken to you in a dream, because I'll have to contradict you. I'm sorry, but I do. This a dear lady rushed up to me and she said, oh, Dr. McGee, I've had the most marvelous dream. And she went on to say, and I had to stop her. I said, lady, I think if you'll just look at what you had for dinner that night, you probably will find the explanation for your dream. I don't think God's speaking that way today. He speaks in his word today, and it's lots easier to dream about it. A great many people, that's easier than studying the word of God. I used to have students. They would pray the night before exam. They were very pious. They didn't study very much, but they were very pious. And they'd stick their Bible under the pillow. One of them told me that's what he did. And I said, look, what do you think? You think that the names of the kings of Israel and Judah are going to come up through the duck feathers and get in your brain? I said, the Holy Spirit, I don't think's helping any lazy person today, and he's no crutch for a lazy person. You're going to have to study the Word of God, and God's speaking there. Now, these men here have the Word of God. We're going to find that Daniel had the book of Jeremiah because he refers to it later on. But God is speaking now for this man, is writing one of the books of the Bible, in spite of what the critics say. Daniel wrote it, and not 300 or 400 years later. Now will you notice verse 18 of chapter 1 of Daniel. Now at the end of days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Now Nebuchadnezzar is going to look at the training that has been given to them. Will it be the proper training? I honestly believe that the communists have been very stupid in their brainwashing today. They attempt to break down a man, and you can break him down, break down any human being, of course. And he finally will have to give in. We can only take so much. And they attempt to break him down that way. But friends, that's not the way you do it. You see, this man Nebuchadnezzar knew how to do it. He has given them a lot of good food and gave them a fine position. And now he tests them. And he does it in a friendly way. That's the way you make friends influence people. And that was his philosophy, by the way. Now he brings these men in. And the king, verse 19, conversed with him, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. Why, he said, look at these four boys. They're geniuses. And so he gives them a good position. Now, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Now, Daniel's moved to the head of the class. Verse 21, and Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Now, Daniel's span of life given to us here begins when he was about 17 and continues to when he was about 90 years of age, so that he bridged the 70 years captivity, although he did not return. Apparently before they even left, why Daniel died. We have no record of that at all, of course.